This is Jack Vaughn for SearchSOA.com, speaking today with John Krupe, CTO, with JackB, a company that does enterprise mashup software. And I guess we'd start, it does seem to be a trend of the looking forward that mashups seem to have some momentum. You being with this company and that being your business, I don't expect you to argue with me on that, but I'm wondering, you know, what you're seeing, if it's true, what is the reason that mashups are of interest?
Great, Jack. We've seen a lot of growth in the enterprise mashup space, and I can contrast it and compare the trend that we've seen based on the types of conversations we've had with customers over the last 2 years. And I would say it's a relatively new category, enterprise mashups. I would say that Gartner and Forrester have really gone pretty strong with the category and writing about it, and customers are definitely listening. But that only happened about a year and a half ago. And before that, we were really talking about a lot of business problems customers and prospects were having that was based on how to get data from siloed systems and get it into a direct feed or get it as a single point of data, and really helping customers with problems in taking data from these siloed systems. And traditionally what they had to do through Excel, through copy and paste and put it into Excel, how can we help them automate that? Because it was just getting harder. Governance was non-existent. Data is coming from all over the place and from not only internal systems but external systems. And IT is having a very difficult time trying to keep up with the demands of the business. So how can this thing that takes data from multiple sources in a secure and governed way and is heavily leveraging SOA help the business unit? And that's what we call enterprise mashups.
And are mainframe backends part of the mashup mix?
They may be. Ultimately, mainframes may be back there providing the data, but usually the data is coming from some type of web service, and that web service is pretty loose term. I know that Gartner talks about web-oriented architecture being more about SOA-styled for SOAP and REST and being more like the web, but really what we see, the big four services that data comes from is WSDL, SOAP, RSS and Atom for News, REST, which is extremely popular, it's very much based on the web, and databases. Databases, one of those data sources that isn't traditionally called SOA, but the fact that we actually pre-process databases and turn them into services that it can become mashable really lends itself to the whole mashup environment, because mashups, especially enterprise mashups, are very data-centric.
And there was, of course, a movement years ago for portals, and it was just a way of looking at systems or bringing forth various things in the background, doing integration. So what's different or similar between the portal movement and what we call now enterprise mashups?
Well, and that's a great question. A lot of the magic really happens underneath the covers. But ultimately, what the user sees or what the end user sees is the data in some form or fashion. And quite often, it looks very much like you see in the portal. Now, mashups are really designed to ultimately get to the user. So that means that if it's getting to the user, that it has to be in a way that the users can visualize that information or make decisions on that information. And what starts happening is you start seeing this information in mashups. We actually call our mashup widget technology mashlets. They start appearing in the browser, and they look very much like portals and look like portlets, because it has the same portal metaphor where you see windows of information and you can move it around and personalize it. The difference in what mashups do and what portals traditionally do is enterprise mashups really about mashing up data, and portals were traditionally about getting content, HTML content usually, to the user. Now it's starting to really blend, and they really augment and leverage each other, but mashups actually provide the data aggregation or the mashup data to the portals, and portals essentially get that data in the form into their portal. So they're not mutually exclusive by any means, but they can be used together very nicely. As a matter of fact, we push out our mashlets as JSR 168 portlets, but we also see instances where you can do a lot of the portal-like behavior with things like Net5s and iGoogle and MyYahoo, and you can have all this happening with secure data sources without actually having a portal behind the scenes.
Was security a different issue in the past? Have people found ways to address a concern that this could be a bad point of entry for bad people?
Yeah, exactly. And a matter of fact, the term mashups really, well, it came from the music industry way back, but when Google made it popular with Google Maps, they started talking about Google Maps and doing mashups because they were taking disparate data that was never really meant to be put together and putting it on a map. When we would speak to the press or we spoke to analysts or prospects and customers, we would quite often, a few years ago, describe it as we do the same thing that Google Maps does in mashups, except we do it on the server in a data center and we do it in a secure and governed way. But that took some education in the industry to understand enterprise mashups, because a lot of people saw it as kind of anarchy, just letting users do whatever they want. But in fact, what it does is institutes a much higher level of security and governance around the types of things you're mashing up, because it's all happening on the server. And the ultimate question that's asked of us is, do mashups actually plug into my existing security framework? And I would say about 2 years ago, we would always ask, well, what exactly do you mean by your security framework? Now, because we've done this for so many customers, we know pretty much have a good understanding of what they mean. And they typically mean, because the user's involved, because you're mashing up data, can you, when they ask, can you plug into my security framework, 9 times out of 10, what they initially mean is, can you hook into my LDAP or Active Directory? And the good news is that we plug right into LDAP, Active Directory, custom types of identity management systems, PKI. And in order to even get past the first gate of IT, you have to be able to integrate seamlessly with the current identity management system.
Okay. And so you have enterprise mashup server, and it takes things from behind the scenes and pushes them out to the users. And are the requirements on the front? And I'm wondering, do you support Microsoft clients? Do you support Ajax, or how does that work?
Well, we used to say a few years ago that we put a face on SOA. And that face, when we started building Presto about 3 years ago and released it about a year later, we were really talking about Ajax back then and a little Flash, and there wasn't a lot of innovation happening. But we always felt that there was going to be innovation on the user interface side of the world, and in fact, that is true now. Now you have things such as, you have Ajax, of course. You have Flash and Flex that's been there for a while, but now you have Silverlight, you have Adobe Air, you have Google's Chrome, which is becoming popular, the iPhone, the new Blackberries. All these are really destinations for what are essentially, web portlets or mashlets. And the fact that they're all in some way supporting browser technology, even Excel is an endpoint. The fact that we can leverage the browser-based technology without actually having to be a browser means that we could really just do a little wrapper around our UI technology and push it out, and it could be essentially the destination could be anywhere that supports web-style presentation. And that's good news to us, because customers really want a lot of flexibility and choice in where these mashups end up.
Part of the drive has made it a different kind of year for mashups is that seems like it's a value to you to be able to work with services.
Yeah. Ultimately, our initial objective here at Jack B years ago was to get RIA-style interfaces in the browser connected into SOA-style services. And that was our first step. And the reason why is because we saw a lot of success in the industry and not your traditional IT-based SOA that was trying to solve EAI-type problems, but more about get that those SOA services actually had extremely valuable data that the business unit needed. And if we could get that data out to the business, then in a secure and governed way and do whatever we need to get it into a decision-making format, a.k.a. smash it up, then we would have essentially a new style or a new platform for applications. But on the other side, looking at it from the SOA side, it started to become, you know, a sense of SOA for the people and moving SOA more towards the business unit, because SOA really didn't have a user until mashups, really. Maybe they had Portal as a user, but they didn't really have a user. Now that all the web-style services are becoming available on the web, and you have many of the internal services that are actually such as SAP or Siebel, Oracle, and all these sorts of services that are actually web service enabled, now you can start consuming these services directly. So it doesn't necessarily give SOA a reason, but what it's doing is it's now taking it more from the business driving the requirements to mash up data from SOA services.
Appreciate you being with us today.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity.
So, again, that was John Krupe, CTO with Jack B., and this is Jack Vaughn speaking to you for Search SOA. We'll see you next time.